This morning, I can't wait to share the word with you. I feel like I have a word from the Lord to share with us today that I believe is going to posture us and prepare us for the season ahead. And it's called Twice as Much. Twice as Much. So you've heard the big news. We're regathering on Pentecost Sunday, May 31st. Can't wait to regather with all of you on the day that the church first gathered. If you can go back with me 2,000 plus years in church history, you remember that day when the church gathered in the upper room and the Holy Spirit, the powerful and precious Holy Spirit, was poured out upon that 120 that were waiting on God, and the church was birthed on Pentecost Sunday. We believe we're going to be rebirthed unto a new mission, a new calling, a new impact in the city and around the world next Sunday, two services, 9:30 and 11:15. And we're asking God to help us. And I believe this is God's heart. I believe we're asking it in conjunction with his heart. I believe he's put this on our hearts and we're being obedient and following him. We're asking him to give us twice as much. And literally, I want you to see that and understand the whole idea of going to two services. Gives us social distancing, yes, but mainly it gives us an opportunity to grow into the future by reaching more people and making more disciples for God's glory. It may take time, that's okay. We're not expecting it to happen just boom and suddenly we've filled up both services. No, it's going to take commitment, it's going to take reaching out, it's going to take loving people, it's going to take inviting people, and it's going to take believing God, okay? But I believe as we set our hearts to do what God's calling us to do, he's going to meet us and literally double our impact and double our opportunity to make disciples. It's exciting. This is an exciting season. I'm believing for a double portion for you and for this church. I'm believing for a double portion for you and for my family, for my life. Six times in Scripture, it talks about this concept of the double portion. A double portion is essentially receiving twice as much from God as you would normally receive. I want to remind you of a story in the Old Testament. It's kind of just a tiny little story. It's easy to read right past it and not catch the significance and the power of it. And that's the story of Jabez. Remember the story of Jabez? Jabez cries out to God. And he basically says, God, here's what it says in the original language in Hebrew. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me. The word bless repeated twice because he's really asking for this double portion, a double blessing from God, twice as much as what he would have maybe received in this life if he hadn't trusted God and cried out to God. Oh, Lord, that you would bless me. And God heard him. And God granted his request. He said, Lord, would you enlarge my territory? And God granted that request. We're asking God in this season, Lord, would you bless New Song Louisville? Would you bless this church and its impact and its outreach in the city of Louisville and around the world for your glory? Would you enlarge our territory for your glory in this city and around the world? And you know what? God heard Jabez and granted his request. When we talk about a double portion, we're talking about twice as much joy, twice as much wisdom, twice as much peace, twice as much happiness, twice as much love, twice as much blessing. We know in biblical times, the eldest son, he would receive a double portion of inheritance. And we're going to look today at a really powerful story about Elisha, the prophet Elisha, asking God for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. And it's interesting because he's going to receive a double portion and he will literally end up doing twice as many miracles in his ministry as Elijah had done in his. God grants that double portion, that double blessing, that twice as much prayer and faith before him. So as we tune into the word of God here, Elijah's about to be taken up into heaven. And there's only two people in Scripture, by the way, who didn't die. Do you know who they are? Little quiz question. I know I can't hear you, and you know, but maybe you're answering it right there in your family room or kitchen, wherever you are. There's only two people in Scripture who didn't die. You ready for the answer? It's Elijah and Enoch. Elijah and Enoch. And Elijah knows, he senses that he's about to be taken up to heaven in a fiery chariot, Scripture says. Elijah just had a great victory over the prophets of Baal. And he'd gotten to a place where he was threatened by Jezebel. And he runs away. He's discouraged. And God speaks to him to anoint his successor. So it takes us to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. And the Lord said to him, "Go return on your way, and Elisha the son of Shaphat of Abel Meholah, you shall anoint to be the prophet in your place." So this is the direction from the Lord to Elijah. He found Elisha, by the way, Elijah does. Elijah finds Elisha out in the field. He's out plowing in the field. And he comes alongside him and he places his cloak over Elisha's shoulders. It's a way of saying, "I'm calling you to follow my way of life and my calling from God." And after that moment, Elisha, he runs after Elijah for the next 7 years and he learns from him day in and day out. And as we come to the close of 2 Kings chapter 2, Elijah's now in the place where his ministry is coming to a close and he senses the time is short and he knows he's about to go to heaven, okay? And he and Elisha are on their final journey together before Elijah's taken up in that fiery chariot. And they travel through three really important, significant places. And a lot of Bible scholars believe that there's something to be learned, to be understood through these three places that they travel through. And I want us to look at them this morning because I think they speak to us if we're going to be a people who inherit a double portion from God, twice as much from God. There's some places we need to journey through with God to get there. So in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9, Elijah says to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I'm taken from you. Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit," Elisha replies. "Let me inherit a double portion of your spirit." Elisha's basically saying, and this is a bold request, right? A faith-filled request. "I want twice as much from God as you received in your life, Elijah. Twice the power on my life." So to get that, there's three places we need to journey through. And I think the three places they journeyed through speak to that for us this morning very clearly. So I want you to see with me the three places that position us to receive a double portion of God's Spirit in our lives. The first place is a place called Gilgal. Wherever you are, say that with me, Gilgal. You probably have read over that. Maybe you've never read that. Maybe you've never heard that place. And it's a powerful place. It's a place of separation. A place of separation unto God. 2 Kings 2:1. "Now when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind," he's going to be in that fiery chariot, but it's going to be in a whirlwind, "Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal." Gilgal is a place of separation. You can read about it in Joshua chapter 5. The children of Israel, after 40 years in the desert, they've crossed the Jordan River. They're now in the promised land, but they hadn't conquered the land yet. And God makes it clear that the males among them were to be circumcised according to God's covenant. It really was an issue for the children of Israel of delayed obedience. They knew to do this, but in their wilderness wanderings, they hadn't. And now they're in the promised land. And God is saying, in order for you to have the blessing of God on you as my people, you need to obey me. You need to do what I've told you to do. You need to be circumcised as a sign of being separated from the rest of the world and the rest of the people of this world unto me. Gilgal is a place of separation. For you and I to inherit a double blessing from the Lord, we need to understand God's calling us to come out from the world around us and be separated unto Him. And this is a powerful thing. And if you haven't done this, I'm going to challenge you to really prayerfully consider this morning. In order for them to see God do miracles, in order for God to fight for them, in order for them to be blessed by Him, they had to be separated unto God first. Now, can I just tell you, I want to tell you a personal story for just a second here this morning. Gilgal is a place of deep meaning to me. And you go, have you been to Gilgal, Pastor Jeff? Yes, I have. Not the Gilgal that's mentioned here in Scripture. I have been to the Holy Land, but I don't recall going to Gilgal. I'm not sure exactly where it even is on a map. But the very first time I ever led a team of missionaries on a short-term mission trip to Mexico, I stayed in a place called Gilgal. And it was the only time I stayed at Gilgal. And I remember it catching my attention. And I remember as a young believer going, what in the world's Gilgal? I don't even know what Gilgal is. And I didn't know what it was, and I certainly didn't know the significance of it. But it was a place of separation in my life. I was just a young guy, just in my very, very early 20s. I had a call from God. I'd walked that out with the best obedience I knew how to. And now God had called me to lead a group of people into the mission field. And we had a fruitful and wonderful and challenging and powerful time. And there was something of God separating me, separating my wife. She was on that team. We weren't married at that point. Separating some of the other folks that were joining us unto Him for the Great Commission, for the needs of the world. I can just tell you, I was never, never, never the same after that trip. My heart was broken by the things that break God's heart. It was a separating. And even thinking about it now, it brings tears to my eyes just how powerful that time was. Gilgal is a place of separation. It separated me. It separated Tracy. It's why our church has a heart for the lost, for the needy, for the hurting, for the needs in our community and around the world. It's why this church has the DNA of a heart for missions, a heart for the Great Commission, because we were separated and called unto that from Louisville, Kentucky, to the world. So, I want to ask you a question this morning. Let's make it personal. Let's give a question directly to you this morning. Are there things in your life that God's been dealing with you about and you still haven't done them? Maybe they're delayed obedience. Maybe there are areas you need to catch up your obedience unto God. It could be in the area of giving. Maybe God's called you to tithe and you still haven't taken the step to trust Him with 10%. Maybe God's been calling you to step up your generosity, to step up your level of service, to give more of your time, your talents, and your treasure unto Him and His people, unto reaching people in this world with His love. Maybe God wants you to focus more on discipling your family, pouring into them so that your children might become strong believers in Christ. Because your marriage is only going to flourish to the degree that you invest in it. Is there something in your life? We talked about circumcision. I'm not going to go into great detail there, but let me just say, is there something that needs to be cut away from your life? Something that needs to be cut out, something that you need to be separated from, that you need to let go of? Maybe there's a besetting sin. Maybe it's something good that, you know what, has run its course, and now you need to let go of that to go to the better thing. Maybe it's a good thing that's just gotten a position in your life kind of out of priority, maybe even above the Lord. Maybe it's a job, a hobby, a possession. What is holding you back? What is holding you back? What are the things in your life God's been dealing with you about? Maybe it's over the last few weeks. Maybe it's over the last few years. I'm not sure. This whole thing of going to the second service, God's been dealing with me about that for a long time, and I've been a little hesitant. and I'm catching my obedience up unto the Lord. What about you? Is it an attitude? Maybe it's pride or jealousy or something like that that you need to let go of. Or maybe it's unforgiveness. Whatever it is, you got to let go of it to become the man or the woman that God has called you to be. And let me tell you, you never let go of anything for the Lord that he doesn't absolutely make it worthwhile. Gilgal's a place of separation. Elisha had gone through a separation when he began to follow Elijah. When Elijah comes up, puts that cloak on him. See, Elisha, you may not realize this or caught this in the story, but he was a wealthy landowner. He's out plowing his field. He's got a lot of land. And he literally takes, at that moment of his calling, he takes his most valuable possession, his plow, and the Bible says his 12 pair of oxen that he's plowing the field with. He takes the plow, rips it apart, and takes the oxen, slaughters them. He makes an altar, and he sacrifices them unto God. Wow. That's commitment. That's powerful. That's letting go. That's embracing the future. That's the pathway to double blessing. So, let me just put it in a little Kentucky vernacular for you. If you owned a John Deere tractor, my grandfather, who I love dearly, he used to be an international tractor salesman, travel around the world selling tractors. If you took a John Deere tractor with four-wheel drive, do you know what the price tag on one of those is? I'm talking about a real farm machine here, not just the one you drive around in your backyard cutting grass, but a real farm tractor. You're talking $250,000, folks. Listen, when Elisha makes that decision to be separated unto God and his calling, it's a sacrifice. But any sacrifice unto the Lord is always outweighed by the incredible blessings that he brings. Elisha makes a powerful statement here. I won't be needing these things anymore. I don't need these oxen and this plow anymore because I'm not coming back. Because God's calling me unto something bigger and something better for his glory. You know what so often keeps people from God is that they're always looking for a way out. They've always got a safety net. Well, you know, if it doesn't work, then I can always fall back on this. Is that faith? Or is that you trying to ensure your own safety? Is that you trying to work out your own details? Listen, folks, we got to trust God. There's something about separation and commitment that leads to God's double blessings in your life. What's he asking you to let go of? The second place that Elijah and Elisha traveled through, and this is a powerful one, is Bethel. Maybe you've heard the word because there's a very famous church out on the West Coast called Bethel. The word Bethel means house of God. Is used often in the Old Testament. There's lots of rich stories about Bethel. Let me show you one. 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. And Elijah said to Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out. Bethel is a place of consecration. We've talked about separation. The church in Greek is the ekklesia, those who are called out unto God. It's wholehearted devotion to God, giving him everything, trusting him with everything. And that's what Bethel is, and that's what Bethel signifies. In fact, there's three things that I think, let me just break Bethel down a little more for you, because again, there's so many rich things in Scripture about Bethel. Bethel was a place of sacrifice. Genesis 35:1, then God said to Jacob, go up to Bethel and settle there and build an altar there to God. An altar, obviously, is for sacrifice. It's for honoring God and giving him our best. Bethel, number two, was a place of worship. Hosea chapter 12, verses 4 and 5. You probably forgot there was a book of the Bible called Hosea, didn't you? But there is. There at Bethel, he met God face to face. And God spoke to him, the Lord God of heaven's armies. The Lord is his name. Bethel's a place of powerful worship where God meets us, God calls us, God brings us to that place of wholehearted consecration to him. And number three, Bethel was a place of commitment. Genesis 28, verses 19 through 22. He called that place Bethel, though the city used to be called Luz. Then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I'm taking and will give me food to eat and clothes to wear so that I return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God and this stone that I've set up as a pillar will be God's house. And of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Jacob had some powerful encounters with God at this place called Bethel. It's where he saw the stairway and the angels ascending and descending to heaven. It's a powerful place of commitment. And Jacob says, I'm so committed to you, God, that I'll give you a tenth of everything you give me. I will give back to you. And Elisha separates himself on this journey, and then he consecrates himself to the Lord. And let me remind you, God's blessings always follow a wholehearted consecration to God. So I've got another question for you. What is your life about? And what are you committed to? What's your life about and what are you committed to? God's double portion blessings follow wholehearted devotion to God. Number three, as we close today, Jericho, a place of occupation. Third place they go, Elijah and Elisha, on their journey is to Jericho. 2 Kings 2:4, Elijah said to him, Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord sent me to Jericho. But he says, the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. Remember, Jericho was that first city that the Israelites conquered when they came into the promised land? You remember how they walked around the wall on the last day, seven times around the wall, then they shouted, praise to God, and the walls came tumbling down. It was an act of worship to God. That was their first victory. But if you read the Old Testament, you know there were more battles ahead, and the children of Israel had to learn how to fight. Not just to enter the promised land, but to stay in the promised land. And that's a really important delineation, folks. See, too many Christians have visited the promised land, but they just don't stay in the promised land. They visit the promised land, but they don't fight to stay in the promised land. They just come for a little visit, and then they pull back. You've got to fight your flesh. You've got to fight your flesh to please God. You have to fight to have a strong and growing marriage. You have to fight to see a double blessing in your life. This is a powerful principle. They had to learn how to fight. The Bible says their hands had to be trained for war. We've got to understand what it means to walk in God confidence, to stand upon the word, to stand upon faith and in faith upon the promises of God. Now I want you to notice here, this is really cool and very powerful. Elisha was bold enough to ask for a double portion. And Elisha had that fight in him because he stuck to Elijah like a cockle burr. You know what cockle burr is? I'm a Kentucky boy. I used to hunt a lot, and one of the things I always remember about coming out of the field after a good day rabbit hunting is I'd have cockle burrs all over my pants and all over my socks, and it'd take quite a bit of time to pull those things off because they stick on there really tight. And that's exactly what Elisha did. He had an endurance. He had a fight in him. Elisha believes the best is yet to come. There's guess what? God grants. He is bold enough to ask God for twice as much. And guess what? God granted his request. Read the Old Testament. Read the stories of Elijah and Elisha. Literally double the miracles come out of the life of Elisha. And it's because he was bold enough to ask for the double blessing. But remember, a double blessing won't come without a fight. So let's believe God. Church, let's believe God. Folks, let's believe God. Let's ask him for big things. This is a unique season. Let's trust God to do twice as much in and through our lives and in and through New Song Christian Fellowship Louisville for God's glory. Two services next week. 9:30, 11:15. Hope to see you. If you don't feel comfortable, we totally understand, but we're excited to come back together. We'll be here online too for those of you that need to stay back. We totally understand. No judgment. Trace, come and let's pray. We're going to pray our Unite 7:14 prayer as we close today. Thank you for joining us. I hope this word has been a word of encouragement to you and has lifted your faith to trust God for greater things in the days ahead. Amen. Amen. So we're going to pray and close our time. Lord Jesus, thank you for planting us in your Father's kingdom. Through your great salvation, we have received the righteousness, peace, and joy we need to thrive in the midst of the trial and tumult currently shaking our world. We ask that your divine peace will settle over our broken world and that supernatural grace will sustain those who suffered great loss during this pandemic.
Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus, we ask you to release your peace into our world to replace the panic. Release your comfort to alleviate the grief and sorrow in the hurting hearts of mankind.
Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for your promise to rebuild, to repair, and to raise up broken and ruined places. You are filled with compassion for the struggle of all humanity. We're confident your heart's been moved by the devastation wrought by COVID-19.
And Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, we ask you to eradicate this virus. Provide supernaturally for the many afflicted and heal shattered hearts worldwide.
Lord, wherever your kingdom is proclaimed and established, there is healing. Yes. And as we approach Pentecost Sunday, we ask for a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit on your church and the world we've been called to reach. Grant us the boldness we need to clearly proclaim your word with power and confidence.
And Lord, send a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit to embolden us to powerfully proclaim the message of the gospel. We pray this in the name of your dear Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen and amen. God bless you and thanks for joining us. Hopefully we'll see many of you next week, 9:30 and 11:15. Have a great week.
Love y'all.